We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Midday Takeover has begun. Crash and Keith on WEEI.
Oh, someone's dying. There's no question.
Ugh. You guys don't like this?
I don't.
This is great music.
Is
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. What a way to get into the final hour of Gresham Key.
Shime held a firearm to me and made me play it.
Really?
Let us be clear.
Oh, you need something that sort of sets the tone for the hour. And if this is setting the tone, it's just,
not over? How is that not setting the tone?
It's a fart. No, I mean, just the sound of the whole thing. Forget the lyrics.
Do we really need to count the ways, Sean?
Yeah.
To be honest, this just sounds like Fuel. Like the song Hemorrhage, it sounds almost the exact same.
Okay. It sounds like the Fuel that let me light myself on fire.
Hemorrhaging our listeners is what you're doing right now, Sean.
Yeah, this is not great. It's not great.
Chris Daughtry, like of all of the like American idols.
He should have won.
You could. Great. What year was that?
Was that 05.
They were on Fox? 05.
I believe that was season 5, yeah.
Is that a Carrie Underwood year?
No, it was the Catherine McPhee year, actually.
John was like 6 watching that year.
Loving that.
I was. I watched all the early seasons.
Yeah.
I used to call in and vote every week, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I actually did. I watched like the Kelly Clarkson season.
Did you have
season.
Your parents' permission to call in and vote? That was always a liner at the end.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood beat out Bo Bice.
Get us William Hung, then. Now you're doing something. Right? I don't need to talk to Chris Daughtry. He had some success. William Hung on cameos getting like 100 a pop.
The first episode was the only ones that were any good. The first couple where they would have the bad people and then Simon would just absolutely obliterate
them. That's when he didn't care back
then. He would just rip their hearts out of their chest on national television. And then after that, it was like, oh, all these singers are like pretty good and like whatever. And move on.
Yeah, that was.
But he was like, stop what you're doing. He's like, you shouldn't even sing in the shower. You are atrocious. Don't ever sing again. And
right?
Like, this is my dream. Your dream needs to be over.
It's a nightmare for me. Thank you. Get out of here.
Goodbye.
Yep, see you later.
And then they got rid of him, and it was like, all right, what are we even doing?
And then everybody tried to adopt those kind of sort of shows.
They were
right?
all the same. There's still like a million of them now.
Like even WWE were tough enough, right?
Yeah,
they would have the judges and
they'd
be like, oh, you're not tough enough. Yeah. Get out of here.
Well, I think Simon made his own is what happened when he left.
Well, because
like, he founded The Voice UK and then there was The Voice US.
Well, didn't he also do X Factor?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah, yes, you're right, Sean.
Because he basically, didn't he bring American Idol? Obviously, it was called something else. It was like London Idol or something, and he brought it over. So, yeah, it was his idea. But then they try to keep doing it, and you're like, I don't think so. He's kind of what made the show.
I only made $100 million this year. Terrible year.
There could be an earthquake, and that dude's face wouldn't move. It's just all plastic.
Good.
That guy is.
But
like,
he can hear it. He can hear a good voice.
He was the Gordon Ramsay of music. That's what he was.
Oh, my God. Gordon Ramsay.
You know that he put One Direction together? We would not have Harry Styles without Simon.
So I used to have a job years ago where I would like edit video from shows and then like post it to their sites. It was like a weird, odd job that I somehow landed into.
We need to dive into this at some point.
So one of the
put this down for a summer topic.
It was bizarre, and so one of the shows I had to do was Hell's Kitchen, and it was Gordon Ramsay's show, and you had to like mark it and edit it because then it would go on their website and then you could like click on all the times Ramsay flips out and it would jump to those. But the ongoing thing on that show is anytime anybody cooked with halibut, he thought it was like the greatest thing ever.
Halibut.
every single time. And they'd be like, he'd be like, all right, so what'd you choose? And the guy's like, well, I went with a halibut. He's like, oh, great choice. Every time. And if anybody said anything other than halibut, he like would scream in their face.
Never make a burger again.
Yeah. Oh, he's so mad about that. But then, oh, halibut. Oh, what a tremendous choice. I was like, what are we doing here? That show. Talk about a
now
show.
Now, that show is a
awful.
Mess. Yeah.
Awful.
That's a bad show. It's
just
they
paint by numbers. It's the same. Right. It's the exact same thing every episode.
Someone screws up a steak. He screams at him. They almost vote him off.
Yeah, get out of my
I'm
kitchen.
More of a Top Chef guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's more. I get that. That's a better reality.
I would have figured you for a Taylor Hicks guy than a Chris Daughtry guy, but
no,
that's just me.
No, absolutely not. Come
Hicks?
On now.
You like Hicks? What's
no, it
Hicks?
Does not appeal to me at all.
He was a silver fox at like 19 on that show, that guy.
It's a look.
You know, it's something,
yeah.
No doubt.
Uh-huh.
Well, enough awful music.
Yeah.
And the texters are in on this as well. So 37937 jumping in and piling on the old Chris Daughtry there. By the way, good afternoon to Providence, Springfield, Keene, New Hampshire, Worcester, Portland, Cape Cod, listening on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, OMF, coming up at the top of the hour. Three T's are coming up. The way you've been contributing to this show while not calling, texting us on the Twitch, on the Twitter. We will get to all that. But the Red Sox open a series against the Oakland A's over at Fenway Park for the next three nights. And we chronicled a little bit earlier as to how the A's are actually a pretty good baseball team. In fact, record-wise, the next best team in the American League behind the Boston Red Sox.
Crazy.
Right.
I mean, even if you were the glass half full, glass overflowing on the Red Sox, to think at this point, and I would say enough of a sample. This isn't, oh, they had a good 2 weeks. They've played 36 games, and for them to have the best record, I don't think anybody could have predicted this. And one of the reasons why they're in a spot that they are is what you're about to get into. I thought the weakness of the team has not been weak at all. Like, going into the year, like looking at the starters and even some of the guys in the pen, but specifically the starters, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be a long year. If you're expecting 90 starts combined from Martin Perez and Nick Pivetta and Garrett Richards, well, then you are in for a long haul. But those guys really have all exceeded expectations.
Now, we're 6 weeks into the season. Red Sox have the most wins of any team with 22. They lead several offensive categories, but the real story is the Red Sox rotation. So the rotation has pitched five or more innings in 14 of the past 15 games, and they've hit the five-inning mark in 29 of 36 games this year, which is tied for second in baseball. Do you know what two teams that they reference in that stat?
Who's above them?
Yep. So one
Dodgers?
Team, the Dodgers are above them with 30 of 36. Thanks and do you know who the next team is?
Is it
the
Oakland?
Oakland A's.
So there you go. Because Oakland's not hitting much. You
know, no,
so
not at all.
Yeah.
And Jen McCaffrey in The Athletic did the breakdown on this and writes, unlike the A's and the Dodgers, Red Sox are relying much more heavily on their bullpen. Boston starters, 16 starts of exactly five innings, while the A's and Dodgers rotations had pitched just three each of the same length.
Hmm.
So it's the whole, well, we don't want to let him see him a third time around kind of deal.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is that, A, you don't trust those guys, and B, they're not good enough to be able to get a third time around. And that's okay if you can manage it, but that's what they're doing right now. Like, hidden within all of this is the managing of this starting staff, and it's clearly what they need to do to win. But is it a long-term recipe for real success?
Well, I mean, I just think when you start comparing it to other rotations in the league, it's one of those things where we look at it here and you're like, you don't have, you know, the Chris Sale from a couple years ago or the John Lester or the Josh Beckett, but
David Price
compared to, or David Price for the 1 year that he was pretty good here. But the other guy, like, it's comparable to other. In fact, those numbers would tell you that it's outperforming other rotations. And even if some of these other teams have like the Cy Young candidate at the top, it falls off a cliff outside of the Dodgers for most of these teams, especially looking across all these American League teams. And, you know, you throw in the fact that anytime you play a doubleheader, it's the seven inning games and all like the five inning start. Again, if you told a baseball fan 10 years ago that, hey, if a starter goes five, it's pretty good, they would say, what?
Right.
What happened to that guy? Did he get hurt?
And you're like, paying them how much money?
Exactly. But in today's game, you will take the five, and you can afford to do it when you don't have an opener. There's no one spot in your rotation where it's eight innings of bullpen guys. If everybody's going five, you can get four innings out of your bullpen. Or, you know, occasionally the guy goes six, and now you're wearing it down to three innings. Right. So to this point, it's been a pretty good formula that they've been able to do it. I would still caution everybody that this group has got a good thing going, but each guy to a man has a long injury history. Garrett Richards has had one healthy season.
Right.
Eduardo Rodriguez has had one. Evaldi, I think, has had one. Like, these guys across the board get hurt. So could this be the one year that they keep it all together? Maybe, but that's wishful thinking.
And Pivetta's pitching his ass off right now in a way that no one would have expected. Like, injuries notwithstanding, or really just the career history and trajectory of that guy.
Right.
This is by far, I would think, the best start that he has gotten off to in the old big league career. So it is, you know, it's worth watching. That will there be a bit of a crack in that foundation? And what I find even more interesting, and a good job by Jen McCaffrey breaking all that down, is the fact that there are other teams that are thinking the same in strategy, except the Red Sox are really leaning on their bullpen arms. So what happens when either, as you mentioned, Rich, a starter goes down and you can't get those five, or you get a bullpen guy who's got to take a 15-day DL trip, right? And it's not uncommon for somebody to get a little shoulder flare-up or elbow flare-up. And then do you have enough depth in the system to be able to employ that strategy? What it also sets up for, too, is not spending money on starting pitching, which is going to be a part of the formula here for the next couple of years.
And I don't mind it. I mean, you see the starting pitchers are just so fragile. You see Jacob deGrom now on the IL. Obviously a guy that you would want, but it's just so many starters just end up missing. First of all, how many guys make the 33 starts? And then on top of it, the discussion we're having right now, how many of them go deep into games, like actually deep into games? And so the prices are still high, but I wonder if there's going to be sort of a course correction with a lot of GMs where they say, wait a minute. Like, you know what, I'll throw a little bit more money on my closer and my setup guy because I'm going to have to lean on them a little bit more. And the starters, like, you know, there's always one dumb team that says, yeah, that guy's still worth $30 million or $25 million. But I think it should kind of go the other way because at the end of the year, I think it'll be a good exercise. How many 200-plus inning pitchers do you think there will be? And my guess is it'll be either a new record low or pretty close to it.
I wonder if we're going to find that there's going to be some playoff teams that will sort of have those guys. Because you do get to a point in the year where it's, yes, this strategy has worked. However, you know, Nick Pivetta is off to a great start and he's only thrown 60 pitches through, you know, five innings or something like that.
Right.
And what starts to matter more? The pitcher getting into a groove, their execution, or is it, nope, five inning, doesn't matter, 65 pitches, we're going to get him out of there because that's the strategy. With Alex Cora, I would think there is at least the chance of managing with feel sometimes, but they're not going to do it right now because the formula is clearly, clearly working for them.
Yeah.
But at some point we know there's going to be a big game against a big opponent in a big spot and your bullpen's hurting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we look at it and say, well, he could pull him out or he could leave him in there. He's got plenty of pitches left. And they do maybe break away from the strategy.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Because I do think that the strategy is for this team more based on the actual arm, like who it is and not the, the computer says this. Like we'll talk to Bradford tomorrow.
So you don't think they would do it with Sale if Sale is completely healthy?
No, right. I don't think, like, in the World Series last year, when they took out Blake Snell, that was idiotic. Blake Snell is great. Blake Snell can face a lineup a third time, or at least he should be able to, and you don't have to go to a lesser arm in the bullpen. But Nick Pivetta, Richards, Evaldi even, maybe you're just getting greedy. Take the five and get out of there before there's a collapse, or let them end on a high note. Let them, you know, qualify for the win and take that. I don't think they're good enough necessarily to do that.
So this is the Costanza pitching staff. Get them out on the high note.
Yes.
Get them the hell out on the high note.
All of their guys, I think Evaldi has thrown the most innings this year, and even his average start is less than six innings.
Like, and you don't trust that guy. I mean,
no.
He's the de facto ace of this staff right now because he's just the most. Well, I mean, Ed Rod –
E-Rod probably
E-Rod is but again,
know.
Like with both of those guys, it's like, well, they could be, but
yeah.
They both end up getting hurt, and
right.
You know, the war of attrition will definitely happen.
Pivetta's actually been their best. Again, he's not throwing a lot of innings either.
Is it 4-0 for him?
Pivetta and Rodriguez are both 5-0, but Pivetta's ERA is 3.19. Rodriguez
he's been great
too. So, yeah, he's been great. And the other guys have been fine. Like if you're talking about a 4-5 guy in the rotation having an ERA of 4.5 with an offense that should be good. Again, they've had their ups and downs, but an offense that should be good. Like, you're still going to be competitive and win a bunch of games there.
So, for those who might be wondering maybe how this ties into the world of degeneration bets, right now the Red Sox are -140 on the money line, -1.5 on the run line, laying 1.5. They're +150. However, I need to do a little bit of a deeper dive in this because for those who are in the world of the degenerates,
yes.
In baseball, there is the first five that you can bet, right? So you can bet first five innings, the whole who's going to have the lead or whatever. Mm. But these teams who are having all these starters for five innings, you know, normally it's, okay, somebody ends up getting, you can kind of figure, this guy won't make it through five, or this starter will get bashed, and
well, the
they're going to go
so
to the bullpen. And
comeback wins,
but
too.
But the betting with the tough. First five, yeah. It will be interesting to see how this strategy might affect that moving forward once the world of the degenerates get more of that empirical data. We've got 3T coming up, your contributions to the show via Twitch, Twitter, and text. A couple of NBA notes to touch on. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook. He's the king of the triple-double. Great.
You don't like that. You're not excited about that.
No, I mean,
he's got more triple-doubles than anybody. Everybody called Oscar Robertson Mr. Triple-Double. They might want to change that nickname.
It was interesting to hear Russell Westbrook last night with the whole, you know, I normally don't go down this road, but I'm going to pat myself on the back and be very proud of this record and blah, 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 and stuff like that. It is the, to me, and I know I'm hard on some of these NBA guys because I think a lot of them, like, they're polluting the minds of the youth that are in the league, like the Jason Tatums of the world that we want to win a championship, right? But, you know, with Russell Westbrook, it's the whole, you know, Barry Horowitz. He's going to pat himself mm-hmm. on the back, and that's a great superlative, and it shows right. that he was a magnificent basketball player. Who will never have a ring on his finger unless he marries a woman.
That's right. He, to me, doesn't feel like an all-timer, which is hard to say because you average a triple-double for multiple seasons and you have more triple-doubles than anybody, which isn't nothing. Like that, to go out there on an NBA court and consistently come away at his size with over 10 rebounds a game
we
and over 20
amazed,
points, it
right?
should be a bigger deal than it is. I just think... We also associate the NBA and the star players of the NBA with winning. There's a reason why Jordan and Bird and Magic and then LeBron and yep. Kobe and Shaq and Duncan, those guys are on a different level than even as great as Barkley and Malone and Stockton and those guys were. Let's face it, Carmelo Anthony is a great individual player, but he's never brought up in the conversation of those guys.
Never.
Because the wins aren't there. And Russell Westbrook also is... a massive stat compiler, but in the new age with everybody with all the other stats, right? Not just the counting stats, he is looked at as not a very efficient player. The guy turns it over a ton. He's a atrocious out like 3-point shooter.
Bad.
In a generation where everybody shoots the three. So and then you just go out there, you're like, all right, triple double and your team's in tenth place in the East. So are those triple doubles even equating to wins? If he did this on a top four team in the conference mm-hmm. consistently, I think you would have to give him a lot more credit. He's like, all right, he's doing all this and they're winning games.
Yes.
So he'll be a Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy.
Oh, there's no question.
The guy won an MVP. He's been all NBA a whole bunch of times. But I've never really liked him. I've never wanted him on my team. Remember, there was always different trade rumors with him for a long time. I think even with the Celtics at one point. And I'm like, I'm good. You know, he had that long career in Oklahoma City where, you know, he was sort of second to Durant for most of it. Then Durant left and, you know, he put up monster numbers. He played a year with Harden in Houston and now with Beal in Washington. And you just, okay, triple-double, but what else? What else have you really done.
You mentioned the playoff success, and as you were saying that, I looked it up. He's played in 20 playoff series, Russell Westbrook has, over the course of his basketball career.
Yeah, he was on that finals team that lost to LeBron when they were really young, right? Durant, Westbrook, and Harden.
Lost in
with
five,
the Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he averaged 27 points per game, but when you actually break down the numbers, and you had mentioned it, how inefficient that he is,
right.
Yeah, it's no bueno. 11-9 in 20 career playoff series. And when you play the majority of your career in Oklahoma City, it's not the burgeoning metropolis that is going to get you on the cover of Sports Illustrated or something like that. You can also, especially like where we live, right? Like you kind of forget like, oh, Oklahoma is more for Bob Stoops and Jim Ross, not great basketball players. And it felt like the guy was buried there for a while and then went to Houston and just... They puked it up.
Yeah, I mean, they won all round, and then they lost to the Lakers, I think.
Yes, they beat Oklahoma City in seven,
yep.
In which he only played in three of those games and averaged 14 points per game. But then when they went against the Lakers, they got beat in five, he was not good. Like 20 points per game. I know it was.
No, they were better. Harden was better with Chris Paul than he was with Russell Westbrook. I was even surprised that they even lasted the whole season because just two guys going for triple doubles every game, like how is that going to work? But they both put up the numbers.
I'm looking at Pro Basketball Reference, and they give you the similarity scores right through 12 years.
Oh yeah.
And through 12 years of the career, right here are the some of the comparables based on win shares for Russell Westbrook, Kevin Johnson.
Oh, I loved Kevin Johnson.
Dwayne Wade. Steve Nash, Vince Carter, Clyde Drexler, Jeff Hornacek.
I mean, that's a hell of a group.
Those guys are really good players, but they're never going to be regarded as among the so-called, Clyde Drexler is an all-time great.
I mean,
great,
Wade
so I
might be.
Wade,
Wade's one of the great shooting guards of all time, whether we want to admit it or not. He had an unbelievable career.
I would agree, yeah.
Westbrook's sort of on that notch below. Like, I think he is going to be one of the players from this generation, like from the 2000s, that is going to be remembered, but it's on that next tier down. Like, you're going to have the great players who also won, and then you're going to have just a list of great players that didn't win.
Right.
And, Harden might end up being on that list. If things don't change this year with the
there's
Nets.
There's no question,
He needs to break through and get that win. Like, because Pierce, Allen, and Garnett would have been on that list, too. But they got the win, so you at least have that.
No, that's interesting because I was automatically going to say, well, with James Harden, it's the sins of the past will stick with him. But
you win a title, it changes so much.
And if you make a compare, like, if you think about, like, Paul Pierce and James Harden. Like, I know Pierce wasn't as petulant, thank God.
Yeah, and he wasn't.
He was
an MVP
willing to ride it
either,
out.
But still, like, you're talking about a perennial all-star, and you're like, all right, they need something to separate them from the other perennial all-stars.
They need the ring. You're exactly right. Let's trend.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI. Have you been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
Well, now it's time to read only the positive messages.
From Twitch, Twitter, and the text line.
On Gresh and Keefe.
It is time for 3T, not the Rise of the Machines, although it might as well be because that's how you get a hold of us via these machines, right? Text 37937. You can also get us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I'm sure it was a spirited chat.
Yes.
And, of course, on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. And, by the way, we'd like to thank Juliana Mazza of Channel 7, who was kind enough to send us some DMs and be like, hey,
good
thanks
story
for the mention.
Yes.
Hey, she thought our stupid jokes were funny, even though we might have been making fun of her employer or whatever a little bit every once in a while, but that's okay.
Sorry for butchering your name, and great job saving a dog's life.
That's right.
Who knows what that creep was going to do with
that
it.
That is
so
exactly right.
Job well done.
It's like saving Shime's frog, which might be next. And now with all of your submissions today via all of the machines, here is Chris Shime.
We got a lot to get to.
Okay.
Today.
Wow.
Right off the bat, early in the show, we played the clip of Will Fleming calling Xander Bogaerts getting hit right in the family jewels area.
That's
if you
right.
Will. To which the 508 said Frank Gore would have hit a home run. So, great start to the day, to be honest
with you. Hot start. Now, is that legal? Do you have to, Would they call that back?
Who's going to call it into question? No, everyone's going to stand there and be amazed.
I think it's still technically a hit by pitch.
But. Yeah.
No, it might be, but take your base.
Yes. Foul.
Yeah.
All right.
Then we ended up talking about Jack Eichel a couple times, and one of the people in the Twitch chat said, fun fact, Jack Eichel is my ex-wife's nephew. That's all I got. To which chat replies, cap. For those of you who don't know, cap means you're joking, you're lying.
No cap.
You capping.
Said no cap.
You capping.
So the ex-wife of this guy's nephew is Jack Eichel?
No, this guy's ex-wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Her nephew is Jack
Eichel. Oh, okay.
So at one point,
this guy's ex-wife is Jack Eichel.
John,
this is not a segment where we need you at all. At all.
Just have music ready, please.
So
we'll get to that anyways.
It's a small world.
Very small world.
If putting that, I mean, this guy's sitting here in the Twitch chat watching us. He's basically Jack Eichel's uncle.
Anyway, all that money maybe coming to Boston. That's something that
I'll take
also in reference to Xander Bogaerts getting drilled. Our friend on Twitter, Goopogs, tweeted at us a story about Adrian Beltre, where I'll just read you the headline. Despite grapefruit-sized family jewels.
Gazungas.
Yes, thank you. Adrian Beltre still does not wear a cup. Your thoughts?
That is a, you are risking a lot, especially playing the hot corner that he did his entire career. He was great. He was also, he was the dude that wouldn't let you touch him after a home run, remember?
That's
he was
right.
like very adamant that you don't go anywhere near him and guys would mess with him and he would get really pissed about it. Great, great, great player. And you have to be very sure of your glove hand if you're playing third base without a cup. I feel like you're just asking for it.
But I also don't want it to seem like this guy is like, you know, Cosmo Kramer and, oh, there's nothing between us but a thin layer of gabardine. Like, there's still something there that's holding those things up.
Yeah, but if you take a grounder to the
girdle underneath, you could wear like
take a hot shot to third with a girdle and let me know how that goes.
No, I understand. Well, the guy missed the ball a lot of times too, so he laid a lot. But
even if you kind of like field it cleanly, sometimes you get a little whoop ah.
Like I don't think he's crouching down and they're hitting one side of the leg or the other. There's something that's sort of holding them up at least a little bit, even though there may not be the best of. Coverage.
How do we know they're grapefruit size? Why is that in the article?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I just read the headline.
That's double sourced.
And how does
it's a HIPAA violation
and
there.
Back to the Jack Eichel thing?
What is John doing?
No, but I'm doing the math. It seems like someone that would be too old in on a Twitch chat to say
shockingly, there's actually a handful of people in our Twitch chat that are like older than Keith.
Ouch.
Wow. No offense.
So that means they're younger than me, which
Boomers.
Is awful.
They're in that range.
I appreciate you all.
Yeah. That
all
is.
Right.
So we had a couple people.
Eichel's 24, so they could definitely have an uncle in there in the old Twitch chat.
Oh, easily.
He's only 24, I think.
Yeah.
He's a young pup.
But if you're like, well, first of all, you have an ex-wife, too. I mean.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I was 33 when I got mine, and
so
that's really young.
Yeah, there you go.
But I would have been sitting in a Twitch chat, even if it was
that's
the hot tub shine machine.
Well, that's coming. That has to be coming.
Definitely coming. Yeah. So a couple comments about the music discussion we had today.
Yes. Oh,
we had a lot of reaction to this.
Lots.
So first of all, what kind of logic is it that Gresh wants me to listen to country music when there's a foot of snow on the ground?
Yeah, the people didn't like your comment. I don't know if they got it.
They didn't get it. It's okay.
They did not.
It's
Another person weighed in as well. I feel personally, he says attached. I'm pretty sure he meant
attacked.
By this country music-hating blasphemy.
Yeah, I hate it. It makes me angry.
But there are different kinds of, there's like poppy country music.
That sucks too.
And then there's,
I'm on my truck. Hey, take a look at me. Time to feed the horse. Got my boots on.
Yep,
they're all the same. And I hate them.
Okay.
It's a very large umbrella, Rich.
Sure.
It's like saying rock music, and there's a lot of things like that screamo, like pop punk. That's technically rock music.
I like it.
I doubt you do.
I'm here for it.
I doubt you've listened
to
it.
You don't think I like screamo music?
I said screamo pop punk. It's very specific.
Name a band.
Dance Gavin Dance.
Probably not.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Anyways,
can we have that 10 seconds back, please?
No, yeah, unfortunately.
Dance Gavin Dance? What is this?
It's a great band.
John's trying to
literally
submarine.
What I was referring to.
He's trying to submarine the three T's, which has been a hot segment.
Yes.
People are enjoying it. Shine does a good job curating all of the comments that come into the show.
Gavin.
And then John's just stepping all over it.
Speaking of something Keith likes,
Somebody
in the Twitch chat says Lana Del Rey was actually dating a guy from A&E's Live PD. Useless fact of the day.
That is
to
great
which
news.
Someone responded, I wish they would bring back Live PD.
I know who it is. It's the guy Sean Sticks Larkin, who was the star on Live PD, because trust me when
he
I tell you.
Lana Del Rey?
Yes. Betty,
wow.
My wife, Betty Gresh, and the boys loved Live PD because okay. they had Warwick, Rhode Island. They had East Providence.
That.
They
yep.
had So there's Officer Sroka. Great, I love you, Officer Sroka. Great guy. Saw him before I ended up coming up here. He was all over Live PD becoming a star, and then the whole show went. Now they're doing Court Cam. Have you seen this?
I haven't watched that, but I've heard of it.
Oh, Court Cam. Yeah. It's like when people freak out in the courtroom, fights, and
bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watched that, I guess.
It's really cool, but yes, Live PD, it's unfortunate Live PD got taken off the air, but it was a fantastic show.
There you go.
Do you get Lana Del Rey on maybe for the show next week? Show?
Yeah, I'll book her.
Okay.
And I also hate to do this, but from the 410 on the text line, says, give the all the money in the world to your music guy. I hate to pump up John's tires, but the people speak.
Yeah, I know John texts the show 2 or 3 times a day. We
well,
already know
but
that.
Then, so then I have another
said
thing.
Said 401. That wasn't me.
Burner phone.
Actually, he said the 410, which yes. is California.
Okay. Which is also so, definitely not me.
From the 603, John, cue up the You're Welcome song from Moana
yeah.
For Kiefer Madness.
That is a great song. Yeah.
It's a jam. Absolute jam. Mm-hmm.
My daughter loves this song.
People also recognize us as a music expert or in the know in the music world here. Apparently they think we're Greg Hill.
Right.
From the 401, hey, do you guys know if Motley Crue concert is still happening in July at Fenway?
I don't know.
Do you think if I text Greg, do you think if we text Greg right now, we get an answer
before
the...
I'm pretty sure it's Motley Crue and Def Leppard, too, because my girlfriend has, like, front row seats to this.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because they were supposed to be, huge Def Leppard,
wow.
huge Crue fan. Because I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be last year. They pushed it back to this July. Unsure if it's actually happening.
How close are we to the original members on both being there?
Unsure.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Curious. Do you have to listen to that song on loop because of your daughter?
Yeah, well, we have a great nice song. Mix. We have a range of songs that we listen to. Yeah. No, but I listen to stuff that I like too, and then she ends up
you
liking
try to,
it too.
Right.
Her favorite song right now, fun fact, Tone Loc, Funky Cold Medina.
Oh.
Nice.
Far and away her favorite song. In fact, she requests it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she requests it. She says, play Dina. Dina.
Oh, like, all right. That's all right. That's good.
Because
if you had to listen to that Moana thing on
Yeah. Oh, no. Some of them get in there, and then she'll request other ones. You're like, oh, we don't have that one today. And then, like, you find something that you do.
Have you guys seen the commercial with the woman with the oopa doopa da or whatever it is, right? And she's like clapping, and they go,
it's
and they go to the kid, and the parents are like, oh, my God, I want to kill myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Some of those ones just get stuck in your head, and you just can't do anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In reference to Jaylen Brown's torn scapholunate ligament, the 401
it's
says
a fifth different pronunciation.
It's not
maybe
what
sixth.
Are you talking about?
We need to,
I pronounce it the same every
just
time.
Just say he's got like a bum wrist.
Where's Doc Flynn to help us out with this pronunciation?
I literally looked up a video on how to pronounce it.
Great.
It's scapholunate.
And it was a video of Shams first trending.
No.
Somebody already put that on Twitter.
Anyways, from the 401,
Hudobin, that guy, Hudobin.
From the 401, if it was a Pokemon character, Shime would have nailed it. Regardless,
true.
I love Shime's confidence when he mispronounces it every time.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think you just have to have confidence and just kind of go through it.
Yep.
As a guy who's done many a sports flash, you just need to just put your head down and grind.
Right.
You know?
We fill 20 hours minimum a week.
You hesitate, you're screwed.
You're going to screw up, yeah, right? True. It happens.
That's true. And the last one, from the 774, I'm bringing my kid to her first Red Sox game this weekend.
Nice.
I was going to make a cute sign. Instead, I'm going to have her hold up a sign that says, Shime sucks, after playing that garbage rejoin. And to you, sir, I say, John plays the rejoin. You might want to change your sign.
And if it's a cute little girl, she will get on TV. And
oh,
like, who
yeah.
Who is this Shime that she
And that will be
sucks.
Our show's profile picture for yeah. the next 6 months.
Forever. I love it. That's
sir,
great.
If you're really going to make fun of Shime, it needs to be a picture of a frog on there
yes.
as well.
Maybe yes. a hot tub.
Shime maybe a sucks. Hot tub. A frog
corn on the cob.
A hot tub.
So just another reason to tune into the Sox this weekend, to look for that sign.
That's right.
Good.
There you go. That's everything from the Twitter, text, and Twitch for the day, boys.
And John getting some love for the music. There we go.
I got love that segment?
You did.
From John.
Shocker, I know.
From all. Oh. People said some nice things.
Yeah,
not the right people, though.
Yeah.
I don't see those people's faces for 20 hours a week.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, see.
Are your feelers hurt?
See, you won't even look at me right now.
Somebody in the chat's now saying, Gresh is calling out people for if they're too old for Twitch. There's no age limit on Twitch.
Listen.
Be any age you want.
I openly admit that as the oldest person on this show that I don't know a lot about it. So I'm actually referencing in part myself who just for the first time went on Twitch during the draft.
You don't think, Bill Gates is on Twitch?
I think Bill Gates is on Tinder.
Maybe he definitely is
on. I mean, with that money, are you kidding me?
Odd swipe. Right.
He seems more of a Bumble guy, though. Let me tell you, the girl make the first move.
If that guy went on Twitch, he would find his mate in about 30 seconds.
She's in a hot tub.
And I am sure that there are a lot of people who work for him who would be able to direct him to that person as well after what I've learned about Twitch. But again, I'm making fun of me because I don't get it. I'm learning.
Just putting it out. All right.
That's right. Boy, oh boy. Everybody's so sensitive today. Poor John. Maybe he'll get his payback and you got something next.
Back to the guys. Gresh and Keith.
Send nudes.
WEEI.
You got something brought to you by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, you know the busy signals and placing customers on hold means lost revenue. Let Unified Office help you maximize sales at unifiedoffice.com. Shime, you got something.
Boys, I'm gonna be honest with you. I got nothing except for the fact that there's somebody on the text line that took me to task for missing a great text about how they listened to me aggressively on loop for 7 hours as enjoyment.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a
dedicated fan right there from the 401.
Somebody who was rough and using
It was a salty language.
Salty language.
Come on.
Fecal matter in the ears.
Come on.
Hey, John, you got something?
So Red Sox are good guys. Celtics are bad. Bruins are good, but Boston got its biggest win of the weekend when we found out that Ben Affleck and J-Lo are back together.
Dreams do come
true.
How about these two? I'll never forget the two of them sitting front row at Fenway, and they could not have looked more miserable. We've seen a lot of...
He had that triangle goatee I think.
They were just sitting there having a sad... But yeah, Affleck, who has had some relationships go south, J-Lo, same thing, but now they're back together. These two kids. It's been a long time since Geely, one of the worst films ever put on screen.
But don't you think that this is just short-term rebound?
I don't know.
They make each other feel good.
A-Rod's got to be steaming, though. A-Rod,
I think that's exactly what it
A-Rod's
is.
A-Rod's got to be steaming. Yeah, they know each other, and it'll flame out by the fall.
And if you're just looking at it from the purely heterosexual male standpoint, if you're Ben Affleck, I mean, you've been given a gift.
You're doing okay.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Especially after those pictures of him outside his house came out a couple weeks ago.
And it's rebound.
Why would you leave him alone?
And it's rebound sex with J-Lo.
Right.
Oh,
next
the
level.
The sensual delights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Rich, got anything?
Yeah, I do have something. So it is the home opener for the Worcester Red Sox this afternoon. They've already played a few games, but they're all on the road. So the brand new park, the new AAA affiliate for the Boston Red Sox here in Worcester. And I'll tell you what, their logo, their new design, the smiley face, I love it. I love the Worcester Red Sox logo. It is so good. The smiley face, apparently like Mr. Smiley and all that, was created in Worcester in the 70s. And so this is what minor league baseball mascots and logos should be. Something fun like this, which is great on a hat or a shirt. It's got the smiley guy. He's got a baseball bat. Can't ask for anything more. So good luck to the Worcester Red Sox and for people who are allowed to go to the game. I don't know what the percentage is. I'm sure it's the same as the Garden and everything else. But looks like it's going to be a good take, and hopefully they have a good year.
Yep, very much so. The city of Worcester thanks Nick Mattiello down in Rhode Island for screwing that up with the Pawtucket Red Sox. Right. And by the way, for the Woo Sox people, like Michael Gwynn and the people who've worked there for a while, we're accepting of gear.
Oh, I would take a hat and a shirt from those guys in a second.
Yeah, Keith needs his 137th pullover,
if you got a pullover with the little guy on it.
With the little smiley face
on
it. There you go.
I'm not picky. Whatever you got, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
What do you got?
I have that the folks in Las Vegas are like tripling down on the fun. Debuting July 2021, Las Vegas's premier club at Allegiant Stadium, the Wynn Field Club.
There we go.
To debut a nightlife experience in the end zone at Allegiant Stadium. So if there isn't a football game going on and you want to get, you know, hopped up on E, get your glow sticks out and listen to a DJ, you can do it in the end zone of a football stadium with an average team.
Love it.
There you go. Tomorrow, Keefe's Keys, but not the kind of Keefe's Keys that you're used to. Any schedule leaks? God, we're hoping so. Kern said something today. We're going to pick up tomorrow in the old clubhouse report. Rob Bradford with a big WEEI.com announcement as well. We'll see you back here at 10 o'clock. OMF is next. Shyman Anderson produced it. So if there's anything wrong, blame them. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.